Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. The forecast for today, a continuing chance for showers and thunderstorms, and we'll have a high in the low 70s. Right now, Kenosha is at 66 degrees. It's 68 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 67. Racine still also at 67 degrees. The Wisconsin Red Cross has dispatched more than 24 emergency response volunteers down to Texas to help in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, and one of them is 78-year-old Tom Poe of Burlington. He just finished helping with flood response efforts in Burlington and in Kenosha County. With his backpack of supplies and personal needs, Poe took a plane from Mitchell International Airport Sunday for that flight down south and whatever task he would be assigned.
I hope that I bring some comfort and helping the people out.
In 2016, he drove an emergency response vehicle down to Florida to help in the recovery from Hurricane Matthew. For him, it's simply about just helping people in need. Meanwhile, Coast Guard Station Milwaukee has authorized personnel, an airboat, and a helicopter to that relief effort down in Texas. A reminder that the U.S. Small Business Administration Disaster Outreach Center is going to be open until 3 p.m. this coming Thursday at the Kenosha County Center in Bristol. It's to help with loan applications for Kenosha and Racine County residents affected by flooding last month, the result of Governor Walker's disaster declaration. The Outreach Center is going to be open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on most weekdays, and again, it's going to be closing 3 p.m. this Thursday, but the deadline to actually submit SBA loan applications for property damage is October the 17th. There was a reported silo fire in far northwest Racine County late Sunday afternoon, had local first responders busy for several hours. Call was at 27305 Kramer Road in the Waterford area, according to online information. That's the Saltzman Dairy Farm. Mutual aid coming from as far east as Caledonia, with such agencies also involved as Lyons in Walworth County. We do not, however, have any other details about that incident. In Racine, the identity of a body found in Lake Michigan by Myers Park Sunday afternoon, still a top priority for sheriff's detectives, not to mention what exactly happened. It was just after 2 p.m., a citizen reported what appeared to be a body in the water south of the park area at 11th and Pershing. There was a deceased individual, a male, about 6'1", a white male, close to 250 pounds, according to a release, with brown hair, multiple arm tattoos, including two women on his left forearm, and numbers tattooed on each of his left knuckles. On the right side of his chest, a tattoo of a horse and a warrior. Also on the left side of his chest, a beheaded warrior on a horse. Anybody who has information, contact the Sheriff's Department, either Detective Scherf at 636-3190 or Detective Evans at 636-3232. And a car backing out of a driveway on the 900 block of South Green Bay Road in Mount Pleasant got in the way of a northbound motorcycle, which caused the operator of the bike to be ejected by the impact in the construction area. Lots of glass debris on the severely damaged motorcycle found by first arriving police officers right near the median at that location. But nearby was 25-year-old operator Brian Warren of Racine. He was transported to the All Saints Emergency Room by South Shore paramedics. A release indicates that he suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Nonetheless, he was later taken up to Frederick Hospital. A 29-year-old female passenger in the car, driven by 37-year-old Racine resident Luis Murillo, was also taken into St. Mary's to the All Saints campus involving minor injuries. Murillo not hurt, but he was cited. Unsafe backing onto a highway and operating a vehicle under the influence, causing injury. The training needs of Foxconn have been getting all kinds of attention with Gateway Technical College and other schools in the region. The broader concern, though, for giving workers the skills needed for what Gateway President Brian Albrecht and others are calling Industry 4.0. Now, the hallmark development of Industry 3.0 was the introduction of computerized equipment on the factory floor. Albrecht tells our partners at Gateway Public Radio, keeping ahead of the curve as industry needs continue to evolve, the school, he says, striking out on new partnerships.
What companies like Haribo and Foxconn are bringing to us under this Industry 4.0 platform are different types of technologies. So this is liquid crystal. That means it's glass with electronics with glass, and the electronics actually change the molecular structure of the glass to make it more high definition. We don't have that skill set yet, so our teachers, our faculty, are going through professional development with a company called Festo, who build automation machines. We partnered with Festo to offer a certification program.
He says Gateway's teaching staff enthusiastically embracing the changes ahead. One of the Democratic candidates for governor next year indicates he would renegotiate the deal that Wisconsin's going to make with Foxconn. State School Superintendent Tony Evers comments on the Sunday airing of Channel 12's Upfront with Mike Goucher. Doesn't believe the agreement is fair for the people of the state. Coming up at 10 this morning, Democratic congressional candidate Randy Brice, who is seeking to challenge House Speaker Paul Ryan next year, will take part in an event at 1715 South Memorial Drive in Racine. This is being promoted as highlighting President Trump's broken promises to American workers. It's all part of a nationwide tour that is going to be taking place. Third stop, by the way, on this particular Midwest tour. It's in support of the U.S. Call Center Worker and Consumer Protection Act. In Waterford, the Village Board will meet tonight, and among the agenda items, a proposed ordinance amendment to allow backyard chickens at single and two-family homes. With the proposal comes a list of qualifications, things like no roosters, up to four hens, a yearly permit, chickens only for laying eggs, a permit to build an appropriate coop, which requires an inspection, and a manure management plan. Neighbors would have to be notified. If somebody objects, then a public hearing could be held. The agenda has the item listed tonight under unfinished business, an ordinance to allow and regulate chickens, as well as a follow-up resolution to establish a fee for chickens, as well as cell towers. Later in the meeting, a closed session to review compensation and hiring for the treasurer position. Well, the brainstorming process has already begun with the greater Racine area to either create some additional space at the landfill at the Kestrel Hawk site or come up with a plan B for the disposal of waste materials going forward, because current remaining capacity is said to be less than 10 years. Racine County Board Supervisor Melissa Caprellian-Becker offering a chance to get up close and personal with Racine's landfill the afternoon of September the 6th.
I organize tours for public services for my constituents, but I also open it to all of the county. September 6th at 1 o'clock will be at the Kestrel Hawk landfill, and I do hope you come, because that's something that's going to be affecting not only the county but all the municipalities within it in a few years to come, and we probably should be talking about it now.
Then on the 12th of September, Caprellian-Becker told her county board colleagues she's going to be focusing attention on just where the trash goes to how it all gets to your place.
And September 12th is another tour, and that is the street and solid waste division with the superintendent, and that'll be at 1 o'clock at the maintenance garage in the city of Racine.
Racine Administrator Jim Palinick recently explaining the coordinated effort, most likely going to seek additional space at the landfill site, plus producing less material for placement in the landfill, which would help to free up more space and expand the time frame. And in just over a week, the new school year unfolds. And as Racine Unified continues to get ready, the Board of Education recently approving adoption of the Quaver Marvelous World of Music curriculum and the purchase of related resources. Dr. Christopher Thompson explaining that while this is geared at all the elementary and the middle schools' general music classrooms, this can also be offered music instruction, that is, to the high school grades.
General music is required for students through grade 5. Grade 6 students must either take general music or an instrumental or choral music class. We generally do not teach general music in grade 6 and 7, but if there is an interest, we would be able to use this to do so.
It's a 3-year purchase for a total of just under $112,000. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. Also, throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.